This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. As you know, 2013 was a big year for changes when it came to marriage in this country. When the Supreme Court heard arguments in the cases of Proposition 8 in California and the Defense of Marriage Act federally, when they heard those cases last March, same-sex marriage was permitted in only 9 states and the District of Columbia. But after a couple of rulings by federal judges in the last couple of weeks, that number has now doubled to 18 states. That's an amazingly fast change with something that was supposedly so embedded and so ingrained in the American fiber. I'm sure my next guest is a little bit surprised about that as well, considering he's written a book on how gay marriage was coming so quickly in this country. The book is called From the Closet to the Altar, Courts, Backlash, and the Struggle for Same-Sex Marriage, written by Michael Klarman, who is a historian at the Harvard Law School. Michael, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Am I right? Are you surprised by the change and how fast it came?
I didn't think it would come quite this fast, but what's happening is a bunch of different states are reaching a tipping point at the same time. There's a pretty good statistical model that was created 3 or 4 years ago that looks at what factors predict when a particular state will have a majority in favor of same-sex marriage. And it's the sort of things you would expect: the religiosity of the citizenry, the age of the citizenry, the percentage of the population in a state that lives in an urban rather than a rural environment. And when you look at those factors, you can actually make predictions about when a state will have a majority in favor. And it just turns out that there are a whole bunch of states where opinion's been gradually evolving, but you're now suddenly at the same time reaching the point where in a lot of different states there's now a slight majority or even a more substantial majority in favor, and that's leading legislatures to enact it, or sometimes it leads courts to strike down restrictions on gay marriage.
So what do you think is going to happen in 2014?
Well, there are a couple more states that will, I think, adopt gay marriage this year. There's likely to be a referendum in Oregon. Oregon was one of many states that in 2004 passed a referendum banning gay marriage. But in Oregon, the vote was actually closer than it was in any other state. And 10 years down the road, which is what we're at now, opinion in Oregon will have changed enough that I'm almost certain that Oregon will now vote in favor of gay marriage and might do so by a considerable majority. I'd also expect a few other states to follow, you know, sometime in the next year or two. So Nevada, the legislature's already voted in favor of a constitutional amendment that would put the issue back on the ballot. So Nevada is another one of these states that I think in 2000 or 2002 had a referendum and passed a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. Now, in order to undo that under the Nevada Constitution, you have to get the legislature in 2 successive sessions to vote to put something on the ballot. But once the legislature does that, it'll go back on the ballot in Nevada. I'm not sure if that'll be this year or if it'll be in another year or two. And again, that's a state where there's probably a majority in favor of creating a right to gay marriage. I would expect Colorado, Arizona, those are other states that will move fairly soon. Virginia is a state in 2006 which voted for a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage, but they only did it by about 57%. And 8 years later, it's almost certainly the case that that 57% has shrunk to less than 50%. So I would expect you would also get a different outcome if this were put on the ballot in Virginia, Ohio, and Michigan, or other states where they passed constitutional amendments in 2004 and where opinion polls taken in the last 6 months show that there's now majority support. So what's going to happen is every year going forward, you're going to see another couple of states where a majority opinion now supports gay marriage and where they'll undo the constitutional amendment forbidding it. And that'll just keep going on into the future. And within the next 8 or 10 years, every state will have a majority in favor. That's what the model shows.
If you had asked me a year ago to name a state that was likely to move in this direction, one of the last 5 states I would have guessed, out of all 50, one of the last 5 states I would have come to would have been Utah. Now, as we know, that was not changed because of public opinion at a referendum, although public opinion may have swung, considering it was 66% 10 years ago. It may have swung into the 50s, maybe even in the low 50s. But you do have the influence of the Mormon Church, which was so much a part of defeating, or rather passing, Prop 8 in California, and certainly wanted to have laws banning same-sex marriage in Utah. But now we've had a federal judge who has said, nope, because of the ruling by the Supreme Court last year, this is now going to be legal in the state of Utah. And I think somewhere between 900 and 1,000 couples have already gotten same-sex married. Tell me what you think are the implications in Utah going forward and what it will do to other states that are as red as Utah has always been.
So I think you make a really interesting point. That's exactly right. Utah is not a state where you would have predicted that the public would have voted for gay marriage, although 66% 10 years ago is not quite as stark as it sounds. Mississippi was actually the state that had the largest majority opposed to gay marriage, and Mississippi also had a referendum in 2004 and rejected it by 86% to 14%. So Mississippi and Alabama are probably the two states, deep South states, that have the strongest opposition. But you're absolutely right. There's no reason to think in Utah that there's yet a majority in favor, although I would agree with you, it's probably now in the 50s rather than in the 60s. It's, why don't we just say 55 to 45, something like that. So the Supreme Court decision in Windsor, which struck down the Defense of Marriage Act, enables federal judges or state judges who are so inclined to write a pretty strong opinion saying that a state decision banning gay marriage is also unconstitutional. You don't have to read Windsor that way. Windsor can be read in equally respectably. It can be read as a federalism decision, which says this issue is to be resolved by the states. That would be an argument against what the federal judge did in Utah. Or it can be read as an individual rights decision, which suggests that it's the meaning of the equal dignity and respect that are deserving to all people to deny gay couples the right to get married, in which case, if you read it that way, it's equally applicable to state bans on gay marriage as it was to the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. What I predicted would happen after Windsor is that it would depend on who the judge was trying to interpret the decision. So if you're a conservative Republican judge who doesn't believe in gay marriage, it would be easy to read Windsor to allow states to go on banning it. And if you're a more liberal Democratic judge whose inclinations are probably more supportive of gay marriage, it would be easy to read the case the other way. And I think you'd have a hard time today finding younger Obama-appointed judges who almost by definition are going to be in their 40s or early 50s, and there's a very strong correlation in how people think about gay marriage, I think it would be hard to find a lot of those people who are willing to uphold bans on gay marriage, which they're now seeing as rank forms of bigotry and prejudice. So I'm not surprised that the judge in Utah or the judge in Ohio, who also in the last couple weeks has rendered a decision in favor of gay marriage, they're younger Obama appointees who I think probably are pretty sympathetic as a policy matter to gay marriage. Now, the interesting question is, what will the backlash be in Utah? And as you point out, the Mormon Church obviously is very strong in Utah. A very high percentage of residents are Mormons. But there are lots of young Mormons who are actually supportive of gay marriage. And in Salt Lake City, a city that, you know, elects a Democratic mayor, I'm sure there's a lot of support for gay marriage. I think the Mormon Church has backed off a little bit from 5 years ago when they put millions, maybe tens of millions of dollars into Proposition 8. I think they got burnt a little bit by the public reaction. And even though they still oppose gay marriage, I think the level of intensity with which they oppose it has probably reduced. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out in Utah. But given that this is taking place in Salt Lake City, where I would bet there's majority support for gay marriage, I don't think you'll see quite the same sort of political backlash that you would have seen a few years earlier.
Very interesting. Now, because federal judges were involved in Utah and in Ohio, as you mentioned, is this thing fast-tracked to return to the Supreme Court? Are they going to have a final say on this? Is there even such a thing as final say?
Well, that's an interesting question. No, there is no final say. The Supreme Court can decide something, and if people fight it long enough for years or decades and the composition of the court changes, the Supreme Court's been known to overturn its decision. So Brown versus Board of Education overruled the Plessy decision, and the Supreme Court's changed its minds on lots of other issues, but it usually takes a long time. And the difference is public opinion is so clearly changing in favor of gay marriage, and it's very hard to come up with an account of how that would change So it's very unlikely that the Supreme Court would decide to back off of this once they decided in favor. The case could get to the Supreme Court within the next couple years. I don't think it could get there this term. The federal district judge in Salt Lake City ruled in favor of gay marriage. It'll now be appealed to the 10th Circuit. If the 10th Circuit decided it quickly, you could imagine the case getting back to the Supreme Court next term, 2014, with a decision probably in 2015. But the justices have discretion about when to take cases. They're not forced to take an appeal. So if you assume that the five justices who decided Windsor, the five who voted to strike down the Defense of Marriage Act, were reluctant to take on gay marriage, which is how I would read the Proposition 8 case, which they managed to dismiss on jurisdictional grounds, nothing's going to force them to revisit the issue in the next year or two. But they're probably pretty impressed by what's going on in the states, too. As you pointed out, when these cases were argued, when the cases were granted, there were only 9 states that had gay marriage, and 3 of them had only adopted it in the November 2012 election. Before that, there were only 6. The Supreme Court granted review just after that, and then 3 more states enacted it that spring. The justices who decided in the Proposition 8 case to wait probably thought, well, you know, there are only 9 states or 12 states. We don't want to force the rest of the country. But if there are 3 or 4 more states this year and next year, you're going to get pretty close to half the states being in favor of this. And at some point, the hesitation that those justices showed is going to evaporate. And at that point, they'll just turn it into a constitutional right and the whole country will have to fall into line. That won't be as big a deal as you think, because even in places like Mississippi and Alabama, where opinion is still opposed to it, the opinion's changing.
But the Supreme Court could issue a ruling that invalidates all the state constitutional amendments and state referenda and state laws banning same-sex marriage.
Sure. It would be like the Supreme Court in Brown versus Board of Education obliterating school segregation, or the Supreme Court in Roe versus Wade striking down abortion restrictions. If the court says there's a federal constitutional right for same-sex couples to get married, which is what the Utah judge did, both on the rationale that marriage is a fundamental right and you shouldn't deny it to people who are in a loving relationship, and on the ground that it's discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, if the Supreme Court agreed with that and said there's a federal constitutional right, then every state law gives way to that holding and it would be universally recognized in the country. Now, there might be some resistance in a few places, but again, given the rapidity with which public opinion is changing and the fact that probably the people who oppose this will not see a big change in their lives when somebody else gets married, right? It's not like Brown versus Board of Education, where your children are going to have to go to an integrated school, which white supremacists were desperately trying to prevent. If a gay couple gets married, it's not really going to affect your life on a day-to-day basis. So I don't think the same sort of intensity of resistance will be there, even in a state like Mississippi, where if they had a referendum tomorrow, they'd probably still vote 65% or 70% against gay marriage.
Fascinating stuff. Michael Klarman, historian at Harvard Law School and the author of From the Closet to the Altar, Courts, Backlash, and the Struggle for Same-Sex Marriage. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.